Well, in spite of what some of you may think, we're not just biding time till the next book. I did receive that comment earlier today. We are going to dig into another book soon. We're some of these things are not our timing, though, you know. We are. When I texted Carlton, and I said, I'm not getting any direction, Carlton, but I think this is it for a few weeks. And I talked to him about the evidence of salvation, and he gave me reassuring words that let's go with the leading of the Spirit. And so that we believe we are doing. But we are looking to, hoping to, ready to hear, and you can make that a part of your prayer too. If God would lead us to the next book. We usually know a little further in advance than this, but sometimes with the really good stuff, God just gives it at the last minute. And then we know it's from Him, not from us. So, you know, we just came through this series, sharing the gospel in your life as well. And, you know, one of the things that strikes me about that, and I was looking into some different books, some both epistles, some Old Testament, some different things about the life that God has called us to live, about growing in Him. You know, we focused on that before, but maybe coming back to that before as a part of going out and as a part of sharing our lives. Our lives need to be something worth sharing. And but it occurred to me, one of the verses that really impacts me is Acts 1, 4 and 5. And this is a review from last week. And it says, on one occasion, while speaking of Jesus, He was eating with them. He gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were not to go out. They were not to leave Jerusalem. They were not to go. All this preparation they had to go and make disciples, to share the gospel in their lives as well, to change the world. They were not to do it. Even though they had all the instruction, they were not to do it unless they had the Holy Spirit living in them and they were empowered to go and do it, unless their lives were really changed. And one way that this has struck me, this verse, you know what we teach here. We know that when we put our trust in Christ, that we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that we receive the Holy Spirit at that time when we put our trust, and we won't go. If you have questions about that, come see me. I believe we can prove that clearly from the Scripture. But we won't get into that today. But so a lot of times my emphasis on that verse has been, okay, don't go out unless you're willing to put your trust, unless you are walking in this power of the Holy Spirit, unless you are believing and trusting. Well, then something occurred to me here is that, wow, you know something even more basic than that. Don't go unless you know you have salvation. That's more basic. Unless you know you have salvation. Now, there's another element to this is, you know, I mentioned this earlier, that we are called to do phenomenal things. I hope you have a great... We are called to live phenomenal lives. We're called to live lives that are the aroma of Christ. We are called to have holiness, impossible things. We're called to say and do things that we cannot do. And, you know, that occurred this morning. I was just thinking about this, that as I'm looking through, what we're going to do is we're going to look through evidences of salvation, evidences that you are saved. You know, a lot of people struggle with that. Am I saved? Do I have salvation? And so as I thought about that, that's not something that I struggle with. Am I saved? I have assurance of that. But yet as I'm going through these things, I think, whoa, I really am saved. I really do have the Holy Spirit living in me. I really am not limited by my own weakness and what I can do and what I can't do. I really have eternal life. I really am going to dance on the streets that are golden. I really am going to be done completely with sin one day. I really am going to have eternity with God. I'm going to walk with Him. Though that is, as I look through these things, that is such a reality to me. I'm assured of it. And that does something for my daily walk. It does something. When God calls me to do something, and my response is, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know. I'm not ready to do that, God. Oh, yeah. I can do it. Not me, but Him. I can do it. I have eternal life. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. I can respond and I can live differently. It does something to encourage, to challenge me. And so whatever level that we're at, this is not geared to convict people they're not believers. That's not our purpose here today. Now that could possibly happen. If that happens, let's go with it, you know? Let's respond to it. If that happens, you know, there are people in the church that have been in the church for all their life. They're not true believers. They do not have salvation. They go through all the motions. They may read their Bible. They may sing the songs, but they do not have salvation. So if a person finds himself in that situation, then let's not, because of pride or embarrassment, that we would not deal with that. So this has on many levels of benefit here for looking at this. But I tell you, the benefit is just that blessed assurance that He is living in me. I have eternal life. I have salvation. And I am willing to do whatever He calls me to do. As weak as I am, I'm willing. And I can do it. I'm going to put my trust in Him. So this has been a real encouragement to me. And the way, while we're being all up front here, the way I came across this, I was headed up to the cab. I told you all this, I think, last week. For those that didn't hear it, I was headed up to the cabin to spend a day in prayer because I didn't have any direction yet. And a lot of times that's the thing that motivates me. I don't have direction. Oh, my goodness, I better go spend a day in prayer. So I was headed up to go spend a day in prayer. And, my old friend Don Landis from Jackson Hole. Actually, I really barely know him, but I listened to his tapes for the last 20 years. So I feel like I know him. So I'll pop his tape in. And so I began to listen. And he's a great Bible teacher. And this was his topic, evidence of salvation. And then I investigate Jonathan Edwards. Wrote volumes on this. Well, he wrote volumes on everything he wrote about. But he wrote on this, this topic of affections, the religious affections, he called it. And so, and I began to try to study that too. But so that's where this came from. And I just enjoyed that tape as I went up to the cabin. Then I spent the day in prayer, came home, I popped the tape back in. I get home, I said, okay, Lord, I still have nothing. What are we going to do? What about the tape? Okay. That's not what I really want to do, but okay. But I believe we are in the right place. So again, this is not a really how you are doing as a believer. This is not it's not that kind of checkup. It's not like, okay, are you reading your Bible every day? It goes, in a sense, that's on a higher level, but in a sense, this goes deeper than that. This is, man, are you a new creation in Christ? Are you a new, something happens when you say yes to that. Oh my goodness. That opens up a whole new world for you, if you really believe that. Because it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, for you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that is the foundation of where we're going with this. We'll look at another verse's introduction before we get going. This is a flow. I believe this is throughout the New Testament. And the more I've looked at it, you know, there's the one verse that we quote a lot, and people have asked me when they struggle with their salvation and they say, I don't know if I'm saved. And I say, well, you know, His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. And that is that's a solid scripture that deals directly with it. His Spirit bears witness. You know, one thing is His Spirit will not bear witness with your spirit that you're a believer if you're not walking, if there's sin in your life. You got to take care of that. And then you get the witness of the Spirit that you are His. But let's look at this. 1 John 5:13 before we go on. This is it's not just about, but it is about the letter that John wrote here, 1 John, but it's also, you see this resounding throughout the New Testament, this idea that we can know. So, 1 John 5:13 and 14. And this is, I can't believe how many times I see this. This is so you can know. This is so you can know. And I've been amazed. I've read all these verses before, but how much this is the theme. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. I'm writing this to believers. I'm writing this to Christians. So you may know that you have eternal life, This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything, and it goes on to prayer. But that He wrote this book, He writes these things, that we can know that we are a new creation, that we can know that we have eternal life, that we can know we are His children. What? You see, somebody, you know, there are some people that may say, oh, don't assure people they have eternal salvation, then they're going to just relax the rest of their life. They're not going to work. Contraire. Well, you know what you have. If that's your response, let's doubt that you know that you have. Let's question that and think that's coming from another source. That may be false security, and that is a possibility. You know, all these things we talk about can be imitated. So we have to be careful with these things. These things can be imitated. So we can know. Let's review, I guess, the... We made it, I think, to four of these evidences of your salvation last week. And again, we want to be careful. We pointed this out a number of times last week. These evidences are not what save you. Doing these things, this is not what saves you. We know that. And it's not what keeps you saved. We know what saves us, right? Here comes the wrath of God on us as a sinner. Oh God, I have sinned. Here comes His wrath. Take the death of Jesus in my place. Divert the wrath towards Him. I believe He died in my place. Accept that. And God says, I will. You put your trust in Him in that fashion. You acknowledge your sin. You let Him take your wrath. And you, He takes the wrath. His Spirit comes to live in you. You are a follower of Christ. That's what saves you. He saves you. You don't save yourself and you don't keep yourself saved. He does the work. But there is a result. Something so drastic. As you have a new nature. You have a new nature. Something so drastic as God the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. Surely there will be evidence of a change like that. You're a new creation. Surely there will be evidence. So that's what we have looked at today. And we see the church pendulum swing throughout history. One time they'll focus on faith alone in Christ alone. That is a good thing to focus on. But then they'll be so afraid to point out, yeah, but if you're saying that, you know, like with James, you know, if you say you have faith, you know, you need to show me your life. Let's see what your life looks like, too. Let's see some evidence for that faith that you talk about. Are you just, well, I'll start to get into the evidences, but we'll go through those now. Number one, and these things is, do you enjoy fellowship with Jesus? You see, these things, we don't just take one of these and just zero in it. You say we're trying to get a kind of a theme, a flow through Scripture, kind of an accumulation of evidence, compile the evidence on. So, I'll give you another warning here. As you are moving towards God, and you may not have crossed that line of putting your trust in Him and being a follower of Jesus and having the Holy Spirit come in and live in you, you'll see some of these things begin to change. As you move towards God, you'll see you have some interest that you've never had before. You'll see things that you want to start living different. So you'll see just beginning of these things. But make sure that you don't mistake those things for real salvation, though. If you're just moving towards God, there comes a point in time where you cross and the Holy Spirit comes to live in you and you are a new creation. So do you enjoy fellowship with Jesus? Is there ever a time that you can, when I say that, are there times that you say, oh man, I know what you mean. Man, I hope your response is, man, I experience that. Not as much as I want to, but I experience that every day. Oh, that really does mean I'm saved. Because I know what you're talking about. I know what it's like to walk with Him and have fellowship with Him. And I love it. That is what I want to do. Are you sensitive to sin in your life? So if you think you have that, but yet there's sin in your life you're ignoring, then I say that cancels the first one. You're imagining it. It's not real. It's not real. If there's sin in your life, then you can just say, but I love Jesus. But you're not. Now, if that's sin in your life and it's making you miserable and you're going, oh, I can't even look at Him. In fact, I can't even look at anybody. And you may even stay in that state a little while. But that very thing may be evidence that you're saved. You're sensitive to sin. You don't allow sin just to sit there and sit there and sit there. And you're fine happy-go-lucky, you're fine with that. You can go back to your business with sin in your life. A believer doesn't do that. Can't do that. The Holy Spirit will drive it, drive it, drive it. God will discipline you. He'll deal with you. He'll call you. He won't let His hand off of you because you're His child. You may get some discipline. But you cannot just go along with known sin in your life and call yourself a believer. Do you struggle with sin? Now that's a strange one, isn't it? Isn't that strange? Do you struggle with sin? You see, when you're a believer, you are aware there's sin. And you're aware when it comes in your life. And you don't want it in your life. Oh, but you struggle with that. I don't want that. And maybe you keep falling back in. You fall back out. Some of that is evidence that you are saved. In fact, you know, if you read Romans 7, chapter 7, you will strike you, and most people that are believers say, oh man, that is me. Oh, the things I do, I don't want to do. The things I want to do, I don't do. What's wrong with me? Oh, I'm this dichotomy. I'm two people. What's going on with me? I have this good and I have this bad. I just want to be, I want to live for God. I want to follow Him. I don't want to sin. But, oh, I find myself, oh, with this attitude. I find myself with this lust and I disdain that stuff. But I'm drawn. But I leave it and I want to... Can you relate to that? Oh, well, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. Believe it or not. Because, you see, a non-believer doesn't have that other side. They don't have that other side. They can just squash that stuff. Life is not a struggle like that. There's a plenty of struggles, trust me. But that's not their struggle. That's not their struggle as a non-believer. So you see, there's sin, things that are disobedient to God's Word in your life. And you're just carrying on. You're just carrying on. Yeah, it'd be nice to get rid of that, but... So, yeah. Poof, that's not a good sign. So that struggle with the flesh. You see, there's going to come a day. This is one reason I look forward to heaven. There's going to come a day when I am done with sin. When it is gone, there is not even the seed of the flesh, the seed of the old nature. It'll be destroyed. Now, even now, I have victory over sin. I don't have to submit to that flesh. To that. We talked about that in detail last week. I don't have to submit to that old nature. I don't have to submit to that attitude, that thought, that action. I can say I reckon it to be true. I'm dead to that and I'm alive to Jesus. He rose from the grave. And I was identified with that. And so I can live differently. I can have victory. But still, I look forward to that day when there is no more struggle. I look forward to that about heaven. Do you? There is no more struggle with sin. No more. It is gone. You will be holy. Now we're looked at on God as holy right now. He receives us like that. But we won't, we won't go back into it anymore. Examine me and try me. Know my heart, O God. Where do I stand with you? It's an important question. Do you desire not to sin? When you sin, oh, I have sinned, God, forgive me. And then do you receive that? Those are evidences of your salvation. Do you love Christ rather? I don't think we got to this one, did we? We stopped at number 4, I believe. So, now the real message starts. Do you love Christ more than the world system around you? Let's go to 1 John again. There's so much of this in 1 John. 1 John 2:15. Do you love the world or anything in the world? If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, you see, this is not, do you love to go out and go camping? It's not, do you love your work or do you love your pets? That doesn't mean, that's not what this is talking about. But, are you constantly in love with the world around you and the things you do and the things you can accomplish rather than God? See, if you're constantly in love with those things rather than God, then that is not a good sign. Now, there could be somebody in here that says, right now you're saying, you could be under conviction. You see, I cannot give you conviction. You realize that? I cannot do that. That is beyond the scope of my power. But if you have conviction right now, this is an example. If I've been putting these other things ahead of God, they've been more important to me than God. You know, if I'm honest with myself, I've been loving these things more than God. Oh, but I want to love God. Why do I put these things of the world ahead of God? I want to love Him. You see, that too is a good sign. So, you can use this study of the evidences to make the evidences more true in your life by yielding yourself more to Him and getting things in order. And because there is such a joy in having that kind of full assurance every day. There's a great joy in that rather than flip-flopping on that. He doesn't assure us unless we're walking right with Him. He doesn't give us that bedrock assurance. So, if anyone loves the world of the Father is not in you. If that is a consistent way of you, if you really, you can talk about God and you can sing songs and you can even read the Bible, but really you know where your heart is. Your heart's not with that stuff. You want to do and accomplish and you want the things of the world. I'm not condemning you for that. Because that's where we all were. That's where every single person was. But has that changed? Has that changed? Oh, that's good news. If that's changed in you. Maybe it's not changed all the time. You know? You can grow in that. But I think if you can identify with what I'm saying, will you love God more than the things of this world fade away at times and God becomes the most important thing? You know, this should happen as you get older, you know? Because there should be this encouragement as you see your body go downhill and your soul getting stronger. That should be an encouragement to you that you are saved and that you look forward to eternity. Some of you guys don't know what I'm talking about, but you will. 1 John 3, 2 and 3. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. This very hope for Jesus coming back, this very hope for what He's going to do in you, motivates you, inspires you to live differently now. To be assured that you want different things as a believer than you did as a non-believer. Your heart is drawn and desire, and you have passion about different things than you used to have. God gives that to you. You see, because His Spirit lives in you, and you, when you're yielded to Him, you desire what He desires. The flesh desires what the flesh desires, and you, as you yield to Him, you will begin to desire what He desires. And you have that hope in Him. Do you have a love for Christ and an eagerness for Him to return? Or does it just scare you to death to think of something like that? That the world may end someday and eternity may begin. Because it is going to happen. It's going to happen for you individually. We die. We spend eternity somewhere. It's going to happen to the world as a whole because we know that Jesus is coming back. We're told that over and over. And it's proven in the sense of prophecy after prophecy has been proven. We can show that. We're not going to get into it today, but we can prove that. We've looked at that in the past. We know, we see the evidence of the Bible that it is true and that God says He's going to do. He always does, and He's proven Himself in the past. And when He says it now, we can believe it's going to happen in the future. And He says He's coming back, and He says it's all going to end. And do you dread that day? If it could possibly be true, do you dread that? Oh no, what is that going to mean for me? Or do you say, bring it on, come Jesus, come. Where's your heart on that? That is evidence of salvation. I want Him coming back. If He came back this afternoon, that would be the best thing that could happen today. By far above and beyond anything else that would go on today. If He would return today, if the eastern sky was split and He comes back, I'm happy about that. Nothing else would compare. How do you feel about that? Good. That's some good evidence. That's some good evidence. Because you wouldn't want Him to come back if you didn't know Him. Because you know why? He's coming back as a lion to those that don't know Him. So, you can't look forward to it if you don't know Him. It's a bad day. Romans 8, 22. Verses 22 to 25. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? For if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Do you see? I've never seen these things so clearly as all of these things, evidences of our salvation. All these things that assure us of our salvation and empower us to do now what God has called us to do. We don't have to do this on our own. We live supernatural lives. And if we are not, then we're not living a life that we do have. But there's some that cannot. And we need to recognize the difference in ourselves. Number 7. Do you see an increase in the pattern of sin in your life? Now, you may not be out there running the streets anymore. You know, you may have gotten away from that just because you got older. And just because you're not doing the thing, just you matured a little bit. Maybe you used to be a drug addict. You went into rehab and you got off of that. Now you live in a home in the suburbs and you have a family. Now that doesn't mean you're a believer. Your life looks different. You know, it's more productive. You can hold down a job now. You know, you're now out doing crazy stuff every night. You're grown. You're keeping it together. But you see, that is not the evidence that we're talking about. Is your life becoming really more holy? Do you know what I mean? You're thinking more pure. You're able to love others. See, that kind of stuff comes from God. Are you growing? Are you becoming more like Christ? You see, this salvation is not fire insurance. That's not the way God looks. It's reconciled to Him. That we have a relationship with Him. And now He has a purpose in our life to conform us to His image. Is that happening? Or are you the kind of really, you're grown up now and you live in the suburbs and you have a car and you have a family and a job. But is there real evidence in your life? Are you becoming more like Jesus? That is evidence of salvation. 1 John 3:5-6. Back to 1 John. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. So this is, in the Greek, this is clearest in the aorist tense in that it means continue. Are you continuing to sin? Now, over in chapter 1 of 1 John, it's more the attitude of, okay, when you do sin, then you need to repent. And you need to get right with God. You need to acknowledge it. If you claim you have no sin in you, then you're a liar. So, this is not saying you will never sin again. But it's saying, do you practice sin? Do you continue to do the things that God has instructed you in His Word and by conviction of His Holy Spirit? You continue to do the things that are sin. If you continue to practice sin, this says, you read it over for yourself. If you continue to practice sin, and you continue to practice sin, and you continue to practice sin, what does that tell you? Do you see that? What does it tell you?
You have no sin alarm in you.
You have no sin. That's good. You do not. And what does that mean? You don't have the Holy Spirit living in you. And what does that mean? You are not saved. I was about to say my brother, but I can't. You don't have it in you. So, you're not hearing the alarm. You're just carrying on. What does that mean? That's not good news for you. But it's news you need to hear, if it's true, because you need to make a change. And you need to not let pride. That's hypocrisy. Oh, I've been in the church so long, what will people think if I get saved now? You know, I think that has kept people out of heaven. I've been in the church so long. I've been serving. I've been teaching Sunday school. What? I've been doing this so long. What will people think if I get saved now? I better keep covering it up. What? I'm sorry. That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. That's pride that takes you straight to hell. So, this is the case. Oh, I was supposed to be encouraging believers. I forgot. This is not double talk. You see, don't be deceived. We talked about this, didn't we? The old nature does not get any better. You know, we shared this. I shared an example last week. We won't go back into that about the old nature doesn't get any better. You know, you can struggle with the same things you ever struggled. If you want to go back, you know, you quit trusting God. You're not trusting Him. That doesn't mean you're no longer saved, because you can't stay there. God will deal with you. But it's not double talk. It's that old nature, all it does is sin. The new nature does not sin. So you walk in the new nature and you do not sin. So we know this body will be done away with, and with it, the old nature will get a new body, and our new nature will be full and complete. To have this assurance, as we said earlier, it does not bring self-satisfaction and apathy. If it does, you're hearing your assurance from the wrong place. You see, there is an enemy that would like to be assured right where you are in your sin. There's someone that would like for you to be assured and to feel okay about it. Why do you think there's such an attack on the church to never talk about sin? And so people can sit there and we can make them comfortable. We can make them comfortable. And we can let them enjoy and have a good time. And we can not... Where do you think that comes from? You see, there is an enemy that would like you to be comfortable in your sin. But that is not God. He does not want you comfortable there. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Listen, are you getting this? You know, well, we're pretty much a young group here, but there's a few that are over 50. And a few getting really, really close. You know what happens? I told you this earlier. I'm sorry, guys. But you know, the body doesn't do the same things it used to do at some point. It can't jump as high or run as fast or lift as much. It diminishes. I didn't hear that, but I probably don't need to. But you see, even when you keep going downhill, because that's not going to stop. It's going to keep, I'm sorry to tell you guys this, it's going to get worse. You know? It's going to get worse. You're going to not be able to even come off the floor. You're not going to, you know, it's going to get worse. Does that discourage you? You know? Does that discourage you? It doesn't if you're walking, but it could discourage you on some days. You know? It could get to you when the body starts failing and those things. But you know what Paul's saying here? There's an advantage. Therefore, do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. You may see me going downhill on the outside, but I'm going uphill on the inside. I'm getting stronger and stronger. It's good. Becoming more like Jesus.
The downhill is called entropy. The uphill is called the Holy Spirit.
That sounds like a Answers in Genesis approach there. The entropy. Which law is that? I'll explain more later. We are going downhill. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. Thank God that we are going somewhere. We are making progress. We're becoming more like Jesus if we're trusting Him. You see, these are signs of salvation. They're evidence of salvation. You getting stronger and stronger physically is not evidence of anything. This doesn't mean anything. But we're getting stronger on the inside. We're getting stronger. We're getting more like Jesus. Are we trusting Him more? Do we have more peace and joy and love? Then you can be encouraged. You can be encouraged. And you can have hope. Number 8. But let's look at these warnings from Hebrews. Let's go there real quick. We looked at this a little bit with the men. We won't get in a hurry. We'll just quit when we need to quit. Hebrews chapter 2. You see, there are warnings to us, though, you know, that we need to pay attention. And so, even on a day like this, you know, we're talking about these things. We're talking about how the Holy Spirit deals with us. Well, you know, we can, and this is written, and we won't get into this deeply, but this letter of Hebrews is written. It's written to believers, but it's also written to those that have intellectually accepted Jesus, but they're really not following Him. And it's written to those that are moving towards God. So there's about three different types of people this is written to. And it applies really wherever you are. This applies. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. You see, we've talked about this. These are nautical terms. We're sailing along, and if we're not careful, there's a harbor of rest. Now that rest can be abiding and trusting in Christ, walking in the Spirit. That rest could be salvation itself. If we're going to get to that rest, and there's another verse there in a little bit in 4:11, and it says, "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest." And we talked about that this morning with the men. That what an odd thing to say. Make every effort to enter that rest, because our salvation is not by works; it's by grace. But you better pay attention, though. And if you are going to be a believer and you're going to abide in Christ, you're going to have rest, you better pay attention. And when it comes time to make an adjustment, you better make an adjustment. And these are sailing terms. You better tack. You better tack, or you're just going to, whew. If you're just riding with the wind, you're just going to sail right on by the harbor. You're just cruising. You're not paying attention. No, you see the harbor, some adjustments need to be made. You need some tack here and tack there and go and make it into the harbor, that place of rest. And that takes a little effort. You got to pay attention. You can't just get an autopilot and sail along in this life. You have to be warned. Pay attention. Pay attention, he says. Pay more careful attention to what you have heard so you do not drift away. Are you on your way to God? Then pay attention. Make this adjustment. Or are you a believer and you really are drifting from God? He's going to deal with you. You better pay attention. Make an adjustment now. Make that adjustment. When you make a tack, when you make an adjustment, you'll have assurance. There'll be assurance. You're heading to the harbor. You're heading to rest. You're going to trust Him. You're not going to do this on your own anymore. You're going to rest in Him. But you have to make every effort to get there. Number 8. You ready for another assurance? One more assurance here? Let's let this be our last one. How long is this one anyway? Well, it's a long one. You know what? I don't want to hurry that one. So I think we're going to end it there. And this will give us time. This evidence is an important one. There's an evidence of loving other believers. Loving other believers. Something that God gives you. But I better be careful how I'll take off into it. You know, we're going to have communion. And this in itself can be evidence. If you believe, Carlton's going to talk to us a little bit about communion. Is that right, Carlton? Yeah, he will. He's going to. And, you know, you can be right with God now. And then you can celebrate what He has done to make this assurance, this eternal assurance possible. You can celebrate. That's what we're doing with this. And you know what? If you're a believer and you're still struggling with this, you're not right, you know, you can say, oh, let me get right here, you know. And so if somebody hands you the bed, nobody's watching you. Okay, we have our heads down. We need to be focused. So if somebody says, and you haven't dealt with this sin, you're not willing to deal with it yet, then just say, oh, I'll catch you later. you motion them on. If you're not ready, then there's not some kind of a judgment on you for that. This is between you and God, okay? This is between you and God. This is a moment between you and God. And if you need to get right, you need some time, then you take that time, you know? It may be, this might be something you need to go to Him tonight, tomorrow. You take your time and don't feel pressured or forced in any way about this time. Okay, don't let this be some kind of pressure filled time. But I am telling you, this is a time that you, between you and God, and you look to Him and you be thankful and let there be nothing between you and God during this time, and be thankful, not just for salvation. You can say that. I'm glad I'm saying, but you be thankful for these evidences we've talked about. Be thankful that if He's given you these evidences today, then you be thankful for that. But if you don't have it, you have some turning to God to do, you know? You don't have to get your life in order first. Big, big misconception. You do not have to straighten your life up to come to God. You do not have to start living better to come to God. You acknowledge your sin. God, I've rebelled against you. I deserve death. I'm a sinner. And you think of specific sins too. There'll be specific things that come to you. You repent and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let Him come live in you. Have fellowship with Him. Be a follower of Jesus. And be sure of your eternity. Wow.